pace that he took, every pace, he made a sacrifice. What's the difference between a pace and a step? Do y'all know what that is? A step is just your regular stride. But a pace is a bigger step. How many of you are still stuck on your step and not his pace? If God has told us to do a certain thing, but we want to do it at our pace, at our steps, we'll never get to where we're supposed to be. But if we take the bigger step of faith and a bigger pace and make the sacrifice to every step, God will honor your faith. He'll honor your sacrifice, and he'll bring you in, and he'll bring you before kings and queens. There's elevation for his people. Elevation. Do you believe the elevation is here? It's here for you. Because he's speaking to his bride. We're in a season where things are about to be manifest for the people that have been faithful with a little. And I hope you hear this. This isn't something I'm telling you just to tickle your ears. I've had enough of that done to me throughout the years. I said, you know what? Just tell me what God is saying, not what you want to say. Amen. I believe that we're getting ready to experience something that we haven't experienced before. Before God ever manifests something in the natural, there's always turmoil in the spirit. Have you ever felt like, or maybe you're feeling it now, that you've been going through some things long enough that you think, when is it going to end? When is something going to really change? This situation in my life has still been the same, but nothing has changed. I've done all that I know to do, but this hasn't changed. Well, there comes a time where things begin to intensify before it gets better. And it's that process that we're going through to try to figure out where God is leading us to the direction that he has intended for us. Everybody in this room is purposed. Everyone. Do you believe you're purposed? Do you believe you have a purpose to fulfill? Because you're not here just taking up air. You're here for a purpose. His purpose for the kingdom. As long as you know that, then you'll live your life with purpose. But what happens if you don't understand what your purpose is? Do you just wander aimlessly through life thinking this is all that it is? When there's so much more? I want what God has for me. Amen. So I want to share with you, I know I started it last week, that what we're in is a new apostolic age of apostles and prophets. And I spoke to you about the necessity of a true father is to raise up sons and daughters. And in raising them up, you want to speak to them about their vision. You want to test their vision. But you want to do it in love so that they have an understanding of where they're going so that you can help get them there. In order for you to be a mentor, you first have to know how to be mentored. You just can't lead someone if you haven't been led yourself. There's so many people that are out there that go through wanting to be leaders but never learned how to be a follower. Because they're so apt to want to do things their way and the way they see fit. And then I told you that in order for us to advance the fivefold ministry, we needed to understand that we needed the apostolic father and we need the prophetic also a part of this apostolic father so that he's able to see or she's able to see as a mother in Zion what is the gifting and purpose and talents within the individuals that God has called to be with them. Now, what I want to lead you into is phase one of parenting, the parenthood of it. If you would get your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 2. Real short, and then I'm going to go on to a lot of scripture today. And when you have it, say amen. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. This is Paul's first letter to Timothy, and he addresses him as my true son in the faith. Do you read it there in 1 Timothy 1, 2? He is my true son in the what? in the faith. In other words, that in this particular scripture, he's speaking to Timothy, a spiritual son, who he understands his lineage. He understands, I know your mother, I know your grandmother, they're of the faith. They've been faithful. But it's never listed that the father even knew. The father was never listed as having been faithful or even in the faith. So the Apostle Paul steps into Timothy and becomes now as a mentor to Timothy. And he writes this letter and he begins, as you see in this journey, that the Apostle Paul comes and brings Timothy and Timothy begins to follow. And I told you that as he begins to follow the Apostle Paul, he begins to watch the Apostle Paul. And not only does he watch his ways, what he's preaching, but he also learns about his patience. When you're parenting, you're mentoring, the student or the child that you're teaching or raising up doesn't always see things your way. Hello, someone. Do your children always listen to you? You may say yes here in the presence of the Lord, but the Lord knows the truth. They don't always listen. They want to do things their way. They want to have it their way. And if your way is not the way they want to have it, you usually have a child or a student that gets a little testy, if you would. Or should I say this way, they throw their tantrums. I never did that. Right? I was always obedient to you. I never did anything wrong. I was the angel that fell, but it's okay. Now, just because mom tells me to do something and it doesn't feel good to me, but I have to understand that mom or dad is not going to tell me something to do that is not to my benefit. It's for my growth. And in the parenting process of raising up sons and daughters in the faith is that you have to see what their potential is. Do you believe that you yourself know your own potential? We only know it to a certain extent. I can look in the mirror and say, Marty, you're handsome. But because it's me, you know, just looking at me and saying, you're handsome. But I can ask my wife, baby, am I handsome? And she will respond with the biggest smile. You're more than handsome. Right, babe? She's saying yes. Now, I just had this conversation with her just the other day. Not about my looks. I'm just making it trivial. My looks and no looks. Honestly, I don't. But I had this conversation with her over this past week about how I've always felt like I don't carry the teacher's anointing to teach, to have the understanding that I believe I should have. Because I always look at myself less than who my mentor really was. And I don't see myself there yet. And I had a high standard for a mentor. Very high. And I've always told her, I said, I don't see myself in that caliber. But she responds, but it's there. It's there. It just hasn't come fully out yet. So I leaned over to her last night as I was studying. I said, oh, now I know why I'm supposed to preach this tomorrow. She goes, why? And I start sharing with her. She goes, oh, that sounds like, you know, Pastor so-and-so would preach it like that. I was like, I'm getting there. And so I got up real early this morning. Mom, I was like, I'm going to put my jeans and my boots on. And I don't know. It has nothing to do with how we dress. The Lord don't really care. Really doesn't. At all. The truth of the matter, he cares what's on the inside. But I got up thinking, you know what? I'm just going to change the way I'm going to go. And I'm going to put on a tie. And since 4 o'clock this morning till 5 o'clock when I got up, I was fighting it about it. I was fighting it. I like them, but I just feel restricted. I like slacks. Sometimes I just feel uncomfortable. So I'm having this argument with myself. Not God, not the Holy Spirit, not the angels, just myself. You know how we try to rationalize our decision that it doesn't really matter, but we're spending so much time. And when the Lord just told me, he says, when are you going to sit down and just talk with me first? That was this morning. I'm not so concerned with the steps that you're doing to decide what you're going to wear. I'm more concerned, are you going to spend more time with me since you're up? I said, ooh, daddy, you're speaking loud. So I had my headphones on. I'm making my coffee. Now, I don't know if I'm making a lot of noise. I'm just sharing this for a reason for you. Trust me, I'm not just sharing my morning thing. There's a reason behind it. So how many know that sometimes you can be so distracted that you think you're not making a lot of noise, but you're making the most noise? Sometimes you think because you're in your own world that other people don't get affected by what you're doing. Even though you don't hear the noise or the clattering or the ruckus, others do. But when the Lord begins to speak, he begins to quiet you and settle you. And he begins to speak to you what his intentions are for your life. The word reflects who he is in you. The word becomes a mirror so that you can see yourself in how you're representing him. That ended my debate of what I was going to wear. Because he was telling me, he says, do you understand where I'm taking you? You haven't been there yet. And when he said that to me, it made sense to me why I was feeling what I was feeling, looking at my wardrobe, looking at those slacks, looking at the shirt line. This, no, maybe so. But when he said, I'm taking you somewhere that you haven't been, I knew what he was telling me. Prepare yourself for where you're going. Now, many of you, how many of you, you've been in back in the day, I'll say it this way, back in the day when you had a job, they told you to dress for success, dress for the position that you want to be in. So nowadays, forget about it. Just forget about the dress code. Forget about the customer service. Forget about all that. Just get the job. But I grew up in the day when mama said, your shoes polished, you got your slacks pressed. Is your shirt ironed? Is it clean? Well, I have a jacket on, they won't see it. But you see, we try to hide some things of our imperfection, and God is saying, I'm taking you somewhere that people are going to watch you, they're going to look at you, and they're going to begin to ridicule you based on what they see. But where I'm taking you, you haven't been. So I said to myself, am I really seeing the potential that God has placed inside of me to where I need to be? Or do I still see myself less than what God sees in me? Now, I always go to my wife and say, okay, what about this? What if we do this? Or what if we do that? And what do you think about this? Now, she's my sounding board, but I also know that the Holy Spirit's telling me she's going to give you what she knows and what she thinks. But if you come to me and begin to inquire of me for where I'm taking you, you'll begin to see that I have things planned out for you. You understand? And so I said, God, I want to understand that where you're taking me, I have to prepare myself for. So part of this is to understand that God has a plan for you. He's going to take you out of something and bring you into something greater. Do you believe that Daddy God does that for you? Yes. The concept of the kingdom is to always to increase you. We go from glory to glory to glory. Not glory, glory, glory. Your position of where you're at in the kingdom, you may feel like you've been decreasing. But the reality is you're increasing. Now, I want you to turn with me to Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 2. And I'm going to show you in which the skills of a mentor and that of a student, a mentoree, and how it affected more than just the one that was being taught as a disciple or a mentoree. Now listen, in Esther chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. When you have it, say amen. When you have it, say amen. When you have it, clap your hands. When you have it, stomp your feet. Okay, I can hear that now. Okay. Esther chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. Watch this. It says, Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. Do you see that? This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. Verse 8. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther also was taken to the king's palace and was entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. She pleased him and won his favor. Immediately he provided her with the beauty treatments and special food. He assigned to her 7 female attendants selected from the king's palace and moved her and her attendants into the best place in the harem. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. But I thank you, Lord, right now that this word speaks to where we've been and to where we're going. And I thank you for it now. Now open the ear gates of those precious children of yours. Open their eye gates to see and open the spirit man to hear. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. What I want to show you here is that Mordecai took on the responsibility of raising up his cousin. So he became now like a spiritual father, the mentor to Hadassah. Hadassah, the meaning of Hadassah means myrtle, like the myrtle tree. How many of you seen those crepe myrtles? Those little flowers that if you have it by the pool, that'll be the nightmare of your life because all those petals go right into the pool. But this is not that particular tree. This is the myrtle of the Eastern culture in the Mediterranean. And the qualities of this particular tree, and this is what I want you to see. It is a slow-growing tree. It doesn't reach its full maturity until 100 years. That's a long process, isn't it? But if we look at it on the standpoint of what really ministry is about, when you're raising up sons and daughters, you're not going to be promoted right away. Oh, maybe you missed that. You're not going to be promoted right away because there comes a season of you and having to learn to mature. When he says he brought up Hadassah, he raised her up in the ways that he was taught in the things of God. When the mother of Hadassah and the father of Hadassah had died, Mordecai took on that role to raise her up in the things of the Lord, and he began to teach her how to be a young woman of God. But he can only take her so far because he couldn't get her into the palace. You better hear this. Your mentor can only take you so far, but God has someone in mind. Watch this now. Oh, Lord, he has a eunuch. He has a eunuch in mind. And why a eunuch? Because a eunuch can't reproduce after himself. Are you hearing this? He had a eunuch in mind to train her up on how to be a queen. Why was that so significant about a eunuch raising up Hadassah in a different area of her life that Mordecai couldn't take her? Because there would be no strings attached to what he was teaching her. No strings attached. And if there's no strings attached, that means she was going to flourish and grow into the young woman to become queen. She began to realize that Mordecai could only take her so far in the things of God, but he couldn't teach her about the things of the palace. Hadassah is the myrtle tree, the myrtle. Now, she was to conceal her identity and her roots of who she was and the lineage of who she was, because if they were to find out, then she would never be able to be in that palace. Do you understand that? How many times has who you really are could have become a hindrance to where you should go. You see, we think of it in the ways of what man says that you can do, and that's all you're going to do. But when God has a plan for you, there's some things that are concealed before they're ever revealed. Some things go in hiding before they're ever brought out to be revealed. The roots of a myrtle tree go so deep, so deep. And I thought the palm trees had some strong roots. The myrtle, this tree, would grow so deep in its root that most of its energy was used to building its root system as opposed to being seen. Even if there was a drought up on the surface, the roots learned how to draw from the moisture of the soil. The moisture of the soil would begin to dictate the shade of the bark or the trunk of the roots, and it would dictate the difference of the shading of the tree. So if you had a hard season, watch this, of drought, whatever nutrients were taken during the drought from the soil determine the color of the tree. So when the woodworkers would use any of the trees to make furniture, they would use the myrtle because the myrtle was strong wood because of its roots. And it had different shades of variations of its color that it can be used and become an heirloom for generations because it was so special. It had value to it. You wouldn't go and cut down a young myrtle tree because then you would never see the potential of the myrtle tree growing to its full potential. And what you would do is stop the process of its growth. We have been in ministry for a long time and seeing men cut down their children and keeping them from getting to where they need to be before they ever matured. But then we've seen also a generation of students, generation of sons and daughters that quickly want to rise to notoriety. I'm called to preach and I'm going to preach. Go ahead, preach. Preach. Be a pastor if that's what you want to do. Be a pastor. You want to be an apostle? Be an apostle. You want to be a prophet? Be a prophet because that's what you want. What usually happens when a child wants to do what they want to do, when they want to do it? Is it good? What is the result? Not even lived. It's just short. It's just short because there's no fruit to what they want to do. It's usually them having to force it through. Because if it's not born of the spirit and it's born of the flesh, it's got to be maintained by the flesh. The root system of this particular story is Hadassah knew how to submit and be humble to Mordecai and listen to the instructions that Mordecai was teaching her on how to live a very holy, righteous life. As much as he could teach her, as much as she could receive, and as much as she would just yield to him, she learned to listen to the Spirit. She gets now into the palace and becomes now, watch this, and I want you to hear this. The king had a wife already. And when the king would ask for his wife to come, she had to respond. But one particular day, the king asked for his wife to come, to be brought in, so that he could show his wife off, but she said no. Has God called you into a place so he can show you off, but you say no? Because you want things done your way? So it gets to the point now, the king calls his eunuchs and he calls in his court to say, what shall we do since this has happened? And this is what they said. You need to go get virgins from every part of your territory and bring them in so that you can select a new wife. Because what has happened, when she said no to you, she came against the order of the kingdom and has brought rebelliousness into the kingdom. You can read the story. I'm going to paraphrase it so we're not reading everything. So then they go out, and guess who gets selected? Hadassah. She gets selected, and she goes in. Mordecai says, do not reveal your lineage. Do not reveal your people, and do not reveal who you are. How many of us have been around somebody who always wants to let you know who they are, what they can do for you, and how much of a benefit they'll be in your life? They want to tell you their whole life story. They want to bring to you a resume. A whole list of stuff. Oh, Lord. Here is who I am. These are the ministries I've been involved with. This is all of my degrees. This is what I'm doing. And it's like, hold on, I wasn't interviewing you for a job. I just wanted to get to know you and your character. How many of you have had someone come and just show you their character and not even realizing that they're showing you their character? But they always want to tell you how good and how beneficial they're going to be to you. So he says, don't let them know. Just be silent. Just be silent. So then what happens is she gets her name, Esther. Esther. Esther means crown. Esther means crown. Watch this. How can you go from being a tree to a crown? Just by the way of the name. She goes through the process and she begins to be groomed for the palace. She becomes groomed to be a queen. She finds so much favor that the eunuch takes her attendants, gives her special food, and moves her to a better place within the palace. You read that in the scripture. If you continue reading on about Esther, you begin to find out that even the king Xerxes knew that she was beautiful. He looked upon her and said, not only is she beautiful, but she has a great figure. That's Bible. That's what it said. God can be setting you up to take you to great places. He's going to use what he gave you. There's a lot of songs written about that. Use what your mama gave you. But what is he going to do? He's going to use the gifts and the talents that he's given you. And a lot of that has to do with how you take care of yourself. Is it just about how your appearance is? Some of y'all went real spiritual on me real quick. No, because God doesn't care. You already said he don't care. But where God is taking you, you do have to be prepared to understand the culture to how to become acclimated to it. How many of you know Paula White? Y'all know Paula White? You've heard of Paula White Ministries. You've heard Paula White. Do you know that Donald Trump took her under his wing years ago before she even made it big? Took her to the finest restaurants and taught her how to sit at a table with European settings to have the understanding of how it is to have a 5 or 6 course meal to be served and have the understanding of it because of where she was going. Do you know that story of her? He would fly her in to the Trump Plaza and they would train her because he knew she was going somewhere. This is before she made it big. That's why she's part of his actual council, if you would, spiritual council within the White House. He would fly him because she was his pastor. I see the spiritual side of you, Paula, but I know that where you're going, I got to teach you things you don't know in the natural. Amen. I've got to show you how to go before kings and queens and not how to make a fool out of yourself by being over spiritualized, but not know how to handle a fork and a dessert spoon. I'm making it trivial, but if you don't know how to be among millionaires and you don't know how to act like a millionaire, millionaires are not someone that has just said that I've got millions. Millionaires are the ones that know how to act with money. They know how to make more. So he was training her up, and he brought her into Trump Plaza and showed her how to do it and showed her how to be a part of society in an economic system that she knew nothing of. If you know her history, you know her testimony. She came from the trailer park. She was locked up in closets. She was put away, and she lost her mind. She wanted to kill herself, molested for so many years. If you know her testimony, you'll know that look at where she came from the trailer park to a palace. Where is she at right now? At the council of the President of the United States. You better hear this. Hadassah may have been somewhere in the valley, only taking nutrients from beneath the surface, but God has a plan and a purpose for you to take you out of the valley, to take you and put a crown on your head so that people can say, look at what God and how far God has brought me. I would have never made it thus far if I didn't learn how to submit to God. You hear this? Do you see the tents that are outside? This is because it's the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles, the celebration that they do for 7 days. 7 days. They used to go back and live for 7 days. Under a makeshift tent with branches as a covering. And guess what they used? The branches of the myrtle trees. Why is that so significant? Because it took someone that had roots strong enough to withstand what was going on all around them. But to grow big and strong and to have the leaves that were always green and would always produce its fragrance at any given time. The only time you can get the fragrance out of the myrtle tree is when you crush its leaves. How many of you are being crushed? Have been crushed? What fragrance is coming out? If you're truly rooted, surrendering to the Spirit of God, your fragrance of Him shall emanate from you. So when they began to make the tabernacle, the booths of tabernacle, what was happening is they were going to the myrtle tree and bringing that as a covering to the people that came out of Egypt. Significance of being delivered from their past. In other words, Hadassah had to go through all the trials, all the sufferings of loss of mom and dad, the loss of family members to only be raised up by the cousin. Her loss, and the things that she's lost that were precious to her, she had to rely on someone else and she had to submit to that. She lost someone very precious that had a voice in her life that knew that wasn't going to teach her anything wrong, because mothers and fathers don't teach you wrong. So she had to trust in the one that God has given her to mentor her. So when she gets into the palace, she's no longer Hadassah. She becomes Esther, the crown. The crown. That represents glory, that represents what God has instituted for us all along. You're not going to stay where you're at. The myrtle trees were in a ravine, in a valley, in a place called Susa. It was the greatest city of all time. The greatest city. You know why the roots of the myrtle trees were so special and so strong? Is because being in the valley, the mud that would come down from the rains on the early part of the season would come down the ravine and come into the valley, and what it would do was impact the very root system of what was coming for the myrtle to grow. There may not be any rain in your season. There may not be any storms in your season, but because you knew how to get into the word, the soil, the richness of the word, you could draw from the moisture and you can begin to grow your roots, become stronger and firmly planted in the place that God has for you, only to be able to become bigger and greater. The Bible says that when she got into that place, she immediately found favor. She connected with the eunuchs and other people. Hadassah, the myrtle tree, connected with other people that she never had association with. The myrtle tree, one of the characteristics of the myrtle tree is that the branches come together and they merge and form one big root. That's the necessity of the body of Christ coming together. Not being a long branch, but coming together to make a big trunk. Are you hearing this? So, can you imagine what she was thinking? My people are out there, and I'm in the palace. I'm in the palace. My cousin is outside the gates of the palace. Oh, I bet you he is so happy that I've made it this far. Oh, but Mordecai says this. Now, y'all know the story that Haman puts out a decree to kill all the Jews, right? You know that, right? He puts out a decree to kill them all. She still hasn't revealed who she is. She still hasn't revealed who she is. But there's a decree to kill all of her lineage, all of the people that she has come from. There is a decree. And Mordecai is there saying, don't forget, you may be in the palace, but if it don't come from you, God will bring it from somebody else. You're in there for such a time as this. But if deliverance don't come from you, it'll come from somebody else. Watch it. Oh, man. Watch this. I love this. I'm gonna give you a couple of scriptures that is prophecy concerning the myrtle trees. Are you ready? Isaiah 55, verse 13. Isaiah 55, 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, which is myrtle. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Speaking of the myrtle tree. The myrtle tree speaks of righteousness. Righteousness. Psalms 1, 3. Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. And it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he doeth shall prosper. Drawing the nutrients from the soil. The prophet Jeremiah also spoke about how blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall she cease from yielding fruit. That's Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. It speaks about when you're planted and you're rooted in the things God has for you, you will always produce fruit. It's when you don't want to plant yourself somewhere. You don't want to submit yourself somewhere. When it's always about you, you're going to realize you're not producing fruit. But when it's about the kingdom and it's about being rooted somewhere, the kingdom will begin to produce its fruit inside of you. It's just Job 14. Job 14, verses 7 through 9. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Through the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock therefore die in the ground. Yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. The myrtle tree is the only tree that you can cut down to a stump, but it will take the moisture from the soil and it'll bud again. It'll grow again. You may have felt maybe in your seasons of life that you've been cut down. Something's cut you. Something's wounded you. A situation in your life has come and has made you feel like you're incapacitated to do certain things in God. Or maybe your faith has been rocked and you don't want to continue on. Maybe it's chopped you down to the point where you can't be even seen anymore. But God says, I'm bringing you back up. Because it is my roots in which I have fed you through the waters. I have fed you through my word. I'm going to bring you back up. I'm going to bring you out of where you're at. And I'm going to make you be planted in a palace. It sounds like how Joseph was. Joseph was someone that received a dream, a vision, a word. Went into the pit. Went into the prison. But ultimately went into the palace. But when he came to the palace, was it just for him to be a part of the palace? No, it was for him to be a deliverer for the people of God. God is raising up deliverers in this hour. Are you the deliverer? Are you looking back at the things that God has been teaching you to know that he's caused you to be a deliverer for his people? Because the purpose that he's put inside of you is to help people out of where they're at. Maybe you've been going through something that you don't quite have the understanding of, but maybe you'll get it when you meet the other person that's going through the same thing you're going through. Or something that you've been through so you can help them come out of it. It's not easy, but it's part of the root system. It's part of what God has intended for the kingdom. Okay, now what I want to share with you. What's Psalms 113. Psalms 113, verses 7 through 8. It says, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes with the prices of their people. What is he saying here? Is I'm going to lift you from the place that you're at. I'm going to lift you up so that you're not staying in this trench, that you're not staying in this place that you've been in for a season. I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to place you where I need you. I have purpose for you. It's not for you just to be where you're at. The increase in your pay or the promotion in your job isn't just for you. It's for those around you. If you ask to be a blessing, I'm going to make you blessed so that you can be a blessing. How many of you have been praying that I want to be a blessing to the kingdom? If you've really been praying that you're seeing increase, start asking God, where does this seed go? What do you want me to do? Who am I to bless? How can I be a blessing? Because remember that everything that God does is purposed. It is purposed. And the purpose for him is to build the kingdom, to enlarge the kingdom for the people of God can find a place. They can find a place. Now, so here we are now in the palace, and she's starting to see how God is grooming her. And she's being groomed. Mordecai is seeing all of this that's going on. And then she realizes that there is a need. There's a need that she needs to go to the king. She needs to go to the king. But if she goes to the king without being invited to the king, she could die. She could be killed. But because God has given her favor within the palace, that she is able to go and stand outside the door. And now the king extends the scepter to her and she's able to enter in and to give her petition and her request. What was it? She knew that Haman had put out a decree to kill the family, to kill all of the descendants of Israel and all the Jews. And she knew it. But I had to figure something out that I had to get before the king. And if I go and he doesn't call me in, the Bible says, if I go, I die, then I die. How many of us are willing to make that sacrifice to do what God is telling us to do, not knowing what the outcome is going to be? I don't know how it's going to turn out. But if we do it, I just have to trust him that he's going to do it. Regardless of what my natural mind thinks. Right? We have to trust him anyhow. But if it costs me my life, I just got to do it. Right? Because God has a plan. He has a plan for us to do great things in the kingdom. So she goes before the king. But she doesn't tell him right off the bat. I love this. She says, I want you to come to the banquet that I'm making for you. Come to the banquet. I'm going to feed you and I'm going to feed my enemy that has put out the decree. to kill all these people, but she didn't let the king know. She didn't even let Haman know. But she spoke to the enemy, "I'm making a banquet for you and the king." Come on. So they go to the banquet. I love this. How many of you are willing to cook for your enemy? No? Shame on all of us. Because the truth be told, we don't want to have anybody that has been talking against us, talking about us, put out a decree to kill us. We don't even want to be their friend. We don't even want them in our house. We don't even want to give them a bowl of cereal. Ain't going to waste my milk on you. Because we're not used to going to our enemies and making them feel comfortable. There was a plan. Some of y'all don't like the fact that sometimes you just got to be real close to your enemy. Real close. Come over, I'm going to make some spaghetti. Come on. Yeah, I know you've been talking about me. I know you don't like me. Come on over. I prepared a table. Since I prepared a table for you before your enemies. So what she was doing is saying, I know he's got this thing against my people, but I had to go back to my mentor. She had to go back to Mordecai and ask Mordecai, what shall I do? What shall I do? See, you always go back to the source who is mentoring you. You may have been mentored in the physical over here in the palace, but what I have for you came from the mentoring as you were watching the Spirit of God lead you in ways that you didn't quite have the full understanding of. For such a time as this, that when you got into the palace, you were not going to take no for an answer. You were going to go and bring deliverance to a people that were necessary, because out of this lineage was going to come a Savior later. But you were going to be a people that could run to you for shelter and deliverance. So then she says, come back tomorrow. So their bellies were full. Bellies were full. And the king says, what would you have? I'll give you half the kingdom. What do you want me to do? And she says, I have a petition. Spare my life. And my request is to save my people. Watch what happens. She begins to reveal who she is, who her original identity is, that brought about deliverance to the people of God. She says to the king now on the second day. Now Haman this whole time is thinking, "Woo-wee, I'm about to be promoted. Because I'm the only one Queen Esther has invited with the king to have dinner. I'm about to be promoted." No, you're about to be put on a stake. So when they ask King, the king asks now, Esther, what is it you have me do? And she explains the plot that Haman has done. So what happens? That ends the decree. But what I love about this, watch this. We're hearing about the root. We're hearing about the myrtle. We're hearing about now the crown. But throughout this whole process, the one that was outside the gate, Mordecai, has just been the one fasting and praying along with Esther in the palace. Didn't ask for anything, but only revealed truth. And the truth will always prevail. But the one that was outside the gate had been called in to the palace to rule and reign along with Esther. The one that he took that position as being a mentor, and the one that was being mentored is the one that now that ruled the kingdom. Have you ever been just minding your own business? Doing what's right, not looking for any kind of notoriety, not looking for any kind of blessing other than just whatever God has for you, he has for you. And you've been outside the gates. You couldn't even come into the palace and smell the food. You couldn't even come into the two banquets that were being made that you have been fasting and praying for, saying, you got to bring and save the people. You've got to be a shelter for the people of Israel because we're all about to die, you included. Have you ever felt like you've been praying for deliverance for a people and you're on the outside just praying for them and then God promotes you because of your faithfulness to continue to pray? I wish he said Mordecai, because you listened to what I told you to do for her and you didn't waver in it. You didn't waver in it, even though she made it to the palace and you didn't. I'm going to bring you in. And I'm going to have you reign and rule in place of the one that was your enemy. What am I trying to tell you? Your season is turning. And promotion is here. Because you've been faithful with the little. He will make you ruler of much. You may feel like you're on the outside looking in. Like you're outside the gates. But he's going to call you into the palace. So that the one that you've been training up. The one that you've been speaking life into, the one that you've been encouraging, the one that you have remembered over and over in your prayers as the one that you took responsibility over, you can look back and say, truly the God has plans for you greater than what you could ever imagine. Truly, you can't see where God wanted to take you and the purpose behind where he wanted to take you. But because you're there, it's because you've been faithful. You were submitted and you were rooted. The mentors in your life. Listen. The mentors in your life. Are there to lift you up. Pray you through. And release you to your destiny. They're not there to hold you. They're not there to keep you bound. Or keep you close. They're there to release you. They're there to bless you for the purpose that's inside of you. You understand that the greatness that you have is for a people that will follow you and watch you? See, when Hadassah went into the palace, she became the covering for the people that were about to be murdered. The myrtle tree, the branches, was the covering for the people. This week, the branches are representation of the covering of God in our life. That he is the root and he is the offspring of Jesse. Jesus Christ is there for us. Jesus Christ is the Mordecai. He's not looking for anything other than to get you to where you need to be. The more you submit to him and yield to his word, he'll bring you to the palace. He'll crown you with his joy. He'll crown you with victory. And he'll crown you with righteousness. Because it's his righteousness in you that will always reign and rule. And you'll be seated in heavenly places. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please. The way of the kingdom of God is just like this. Watch this. When Joseph went from being a prisoner to becoming a prince, Aaron went from being a slave in Egypt to a high priest in the kingdom. Saul went from obscurity to the throne of Israel. David went from a shepherd to a king. And Daniel went from captivity in Babylon to prime minister over Babylon. God is always looking to increase you, to promote you, to take you out of where you're at, to a place you've never been, to do something for his kingdom that's greater than what you can imagine. Look deep within you, within the root systems of the Word of God and what he's done in your life through prophetic words or even through dreams. Because in the season that we're in, he's about to now bring to you the fruitfulness of that word. You've been faithful, and he accounts it to you in heavenly places. Because of your faith, you've pleased God. It's not easy walking it out in faith. But because of your faith, you've pleased him. Things are shifting on your behalf. Whatever you felt, maybe you thought that was canceling you out, just know that because of your faithfulness, he's raising you up. Amen. If you would bow your head and close your eyes. Father, right now, as we stand in this week of the Feast of Tabernacles, we stand within the tabernacle now. We thank you, Father, that you have given us liberty and the freedom because you have taken away the penalty of sin for our life through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the cross that made a way for us to cross from the sin of death to a place of righteousness with you. We thank you, Father, that you made a way for us, a way of escape through the shed blood of your Son. Lord, now that we are children of the Most High God, we thank you, Lord, that you crown us with glory, that you crown us with your splendor, your majesty, that the light that shines and radiates around us, Lord, will make us a beacon of hope in a world of darkness. Let us be that hope, Father, and let us be a refuge for those to run to. Let us introduce to them who you really are, not by way of religious acts, but by way of relationship with you, that we share with them the testimony and the goodness of your gospel. Lord, empower us, release us, and embody us with your presence, that wherever we go, the demonstration of your glory shall be there. Lord, we thank you as we continue to embark on this journey with you, that you take us to places we've never been. Open our eyes to see, O Lord, our hearts to receive, and let us be activated in the things of the faith to walk it out as you've ordained for us to walk. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. I encourage you to walk these things out. If you're being mentored by the Spirit and he's teaching you in the Word, be obedient to activate what he's given you. Don't just sit on it. Activate it. Amen. I encourage you to put in your repertoire of your faith fasting. Because what God is getting ready to do for the body of Christ is going to require us to fast and pray. For what is coming our way into the kingdom of God, we must be ready to receive. Fast and pray. Esther called a fast, and they fasted for her. She fasted because of what was coming and what was about to be done. That's one of the greatest weapons of all, is fasting and pray. Put that into your arsenal, along with your worship and your praise, and watch what God will do through you and for you. Amen. We will see you next week, and I'm going to share a little bit more on, not Hadassah, but I'm going to share with you on the reflections of pace setting. And you'll see how God wants to bring us to a different place by way of his pace. Amen. God bless you guys. I love you. There's some coffee back there. There's some coffee back there. So get some coffee. Amen. We'll see you. Love you guys.